All right. All right, good to be here tonight, amen?
Amen.
Let's look in our Bibles at Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter 1. I don't know what that is. Y'all need to have a prayer service over these microphones. All right. Look at that. Spot of tea. All right, I want to preach to you tonight on the minister. I want to preach to you about a minister. And Philippians chapter number 1, we're not going to read a lot of scripture here, but I do want to read this, at least the first couple of verses here. And I want to preach to you, like I say, about the minister. Whether you know it or not, if you're saved, you are a minister. Amen. A lot of times people associate the word minister with pastor. Some people don't even like to use the word minister because in some circles it sounds like it's a little bit sissy or not as masculine or whatever the case is. But the Bible uses the word minister, and we certainly are supposed to be ministers of the gospel. Amen. The Bible says especially in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, we'll look at that in a little bit. The Bible says God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When Christ was here on the earth, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Amen. Now that Christ has returned to glory and we await his return, the Bible says, we beseech you in Christ's stead, Amen. Be ye reconciled to God. So we are definitely ministers, whether you're a pastor, Sunday school teacher, whether you're just a church member that comes faithfully every Sunday. You may not be a Sunday school teacher or a preacher per se. You may not even be, we like to talk about women aren't supposed to pastor, but women can definitely be ministers of the gospel. And so that's what I want to preach to you about tonight. So just because I'm preaching about the minister, don't tune it out because you're a woman or because you're not a Sunday school teacher, because in this regard, everybody is going to be accountable. Everybody's going to be included. So I like to be included, don't you? When I was a kid, somebody would say something silly and you'd want to be the first one to say, not included, not included. Last one, the house of rotten egg, not included, because I know you can run faster than me. So what is that? Is it this mic? Okay, well. All right, we'll try to work it out. I definitely don't want to use that girl's mic thing that Samson brought in. That thing bothers me a little bit. but at any rate, we'll try to make this one work. If it don't, we'll take it off. But at any rate, let's look here in the book of Philippians tonight, and let's read a verse or two, and let's go to the Lord in prayer first. How about that? Let's pray and then read this verse of Scripture. Lord, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity to come to your house, and I pray that you would help us, speak to us, God. In the flavor of the message, I pray you'd minister to us. Lord, speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to realize, help us to understand, Lord, the importance of these things that we're about to talk about. I pray, God, that you'd help us to leave here tonight, God, closer to you than when we came. We do thank you, God, for your grace. We do thank you for dealing with us. We thank you, God, a whole lot for your long-suffering. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just be merciful to us until we get these things straightened out in our minds. Help us, God, to get it straightened out quickly, because we know that the time is short. And God, we just ask you to help us, help our country, help our respective neighborhoods that we live in. The brother here from up in New Jersey, myself. All of our towns, all of our cities, all of our states, our whole country needs something more, God, than what the politician has to offer or what the mere religious has to offer. God, we need some ministers of the gospel, and I pray you'd help us in that regard tonight. And I'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now I thought this would be an appropriate verse to read because it includes everybody. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, Paul. Which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So in verse number one, he says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So there you've got the makings of a whole church, all the saints with the bishops and the deacons. The bishops and deacons, the elders, the leadership of the church, and every single person that comes to the church, he said, that's who this book is written to. So with that in mind, I see the bishops there, I see the deacons there, I see the congregation, and I see down verse 3, 4, and 5, their fellowship in the gospel. That's what their fellowship is about. It's about the gospel. Now, this is not the fellowship of the Elks or the Mooses or the Masons or any such thing as that. Now, you hear and you a member of the Masons or something like that, I mean, more power to you. I'm not a Mason, amen. I'm a Christian, and I don't intend to join the Masons. I don't need any more standing in the community, and I don't need any more brotherhood than I've got right here in the church, amen. This brother over here was talking about being a policeman. I know there's a large brotherhood among policemen. We had a Marine. I was looking around in the congregation this morning. I'm a Marine myself. They consider that to be a brotherhood of Marines. When you get in the Army, you know, Army Rangers and seem to have the most pride about the Army. They like to stick together because they're a brotherhood. Well, the church is a brotherhood. Amen. And it's the best brotherhood that there is on the whole planet. The church is the best organization that there is. You might find fault with the church. You might find fault within the church. You might find certain people within the church that you don't think ought to be in the church. But I tell you this, the church, with the worst people that I know in it, is the best organization. I'm talking about Christ Church now. And the Bible says in any house there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. There are some people that are going to die and go to heaven, and they're never going to be anything honorable for God. Vessels of dishonor. But there's some vessels of honor in that place, and the most important vessel of honor, of course, is we give that glory, we give that respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's, it's a vessel of honor. And that's what I got up here. That I brought the teapot for that reason. And whether you know it or not, this, of course, this is a teapot here, and this is one of my big mistakes. You know, this is one of the things that I've got fussed at because I spent too much for it and hardly ever use it. That seems to be the thing that I get fussed at the most. Spend a lot of money for it and rarely ever use it. But I like tea. I like hot tea. And I go through a little mall and I saw this thing. There's a store in there for suckers like me, I guess, selling teapots. So I bought one, and it was way too much money for the use that I've got out of it. But hey, now it's a good sermon illustration. And so I'm going to use that. But this is a teapot, and technically it's used to administer tea. And so I'm going to use it. This is a minister right here. You say, well, hey, I'm called to preach. I believe the King James Bible. I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm a minister. Well, so is this. Yeah. So I'm going to use this to compare to us to see if we measure up to the bill or not about what a minister is. So there's some things about this that ought to be reflected in our own lives. If this teapot can do it, we ought to be able to do it. Of course, some of you are not as smart as this teapot is. I'm just going by the evidence. If a teapot's fulfilling its purpose and you're not, well, then there's a disconnect there somewhere. Amen. And I'll let you work that out. Amen. I'm not going to come put a tag on your shirt that says dunce or anything like that. We'll just let you work it out with the Lord. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. And so we just preach to you for a few minutes tonight. But I would say this, first of all, of course, we understand that to minister is to dispense. We understand this is a dispenser. I think you probably understand the joke or the tongue-in-cheek about this being a minister, but at least this is what you use to minister with. And in that same vein, you are what God uses to minister with. The Bible says when Christ was here, God was in him, reconciling the world to himself. Now Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and you're here, and Christ is in you. So you're a vessel. And I hope that it's everybody in the building's desire to be a vessel of honor, something that would be worth something. Something that, I mean, sometimes, you know, this is cast iron. Sometimes you get rust on it and stuff like that. Matter of fact, I could probably find some rust on this if I looked hard enough. And if you looked hard enough at you, if you looked hard enough at you, and if others looked hard enough at you, they'd probably find some rusty spots and some bad spots. But we ought to strive to be the best pot that we can. Amen. Yeah. If God's going to use us to minister to God, to the gospel to other people, we ought to want to do that to the best of our ability. Amen. And that in any other part of our lives. And I'm just giving you the benefit of the doubt. I hope that when you go to work tomorrow, you're going to try to be the best worker you are. I don't know who you work for. You might work for Johnson Controls or Johnson & Johnson or Amazon. You might work for, but whoever it is you're working for, I hope that you're going to be the best representative. I mean, don't be the guy that skates by and tries not to do anything, but wondering why you don't make more than $8 an hour. You're probably being paid what you're worth. You know, they had this national thing about McDonald's, and they're going to try to make them pay $15 an hour and stuff like that. Frankly, it's just not worth $15, because I'm not going to pay $12 for a Big Mac in order that they could pay you $15 an hour. Just not going to do it, amen. But whatever job that you're trying to do, I mean, if that's what you're doing, flipping burgers, that's what you want to do, then, hey, try to be the best one that there is, amen. I want to be the highest paid burger flipper that there is. I mean, you don't want to be the worst, do you? Because, you know, the Bible says you seek and you shall find. If that's what you're looking to do, I mean, it's possible for you to be the worst driver or the worst whatever it is that you're doing. It's possible to be the worst, but I would hope that God's people had enough integrity about them to want to be the best. That is part of your testimony. So if I'm going to be a minister, I want to be as good as I possibly can be. I said this one time, and we got a little Bible school at the church there, and we try to teach the Bible on Monday nights from September to around May. And I told those guys, I said, listen, as far as the attitude of a preacher goes, I want to be the best preacher. I'm not saying that I am the best preacher or ever will be the best preacher, but in my mind, I want to be the best preacher that there is. When it comes to teaching the Bible, whether it's in Sunday school or at the Bible school, no matter what it is, I want to be the best teacher that there is. I want to be that. Now, that's not a statement of pride, and that statement wasn't made from a position of pride, but I just can't see myself. I can stand up and admit that I'm not the best. I can stand up and admit that I'm not even close to the best, but I don't want to be the worst, you understand? And so when we're talking about a minister, and I think about stuff like this, you know, this is perfectly made for its intended purpose. This is a teapot. It's not a coffee pot. You don't pour Coca-Cola out of it. And so the dispenser is made for its contents. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." He said, but that wouldn't it be kind of odd if there was an apostle who was ashamed of the gospel? Wouldn't it be kind of odd if a man stood up and said, now I'm called to preach, but during the week he was happy to stand up where the glory is or where the limelight is and say a few words for the Lord, but if he was ashamed to say it in front of his workmates or if he was ashamed to say it in front of the people that he lived next to. Listen, let me just put it this way to you. Once you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you might have been a carpenter, but your life is now ruined for carpentry. You are now a minister of the gospel. Amen. And I know, and I've already said it, you should go to work and try to be your best, but good luck to you. Once you've decided that the Christian life is the life for you, and the life of a gospel minister, the life of a gospel witness is the life for you, you're going to have a hard time keeping your mind on driving nails and building fences or whatever the case may be. You're just ruined. You say, why? Because the Bible says we are new creatures, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Had I read on in the scripture this morning, verse number 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Somewhere in China, somebody made this little teapot here, and I guess that's why it costs a lot of money. I don't see what, you know, the stuff at Walmart's made in China too, but it don't cost as much as this did. But at any rate, some guy in China made this. He made it for a purpose. He didn't make it for a paperweight, which this one has become. As a Christian, don't become a paperweight. Amen. It's made for a purpose. Amen. Amen. And you as a Christian, you're made for a purpose. That is your purpose. You know what? Some people, even in church, they're depressed. They're full of grief because they really don't think they have a purpose. The preacher has a purpose. The guy that does the announcements has a purpose. Brother so-and-so, who is the whoever the Sunday school superintendent might be, he has a purpose. But I don't have a purpose. Yes, you do have a purpose. You do have a purpose. You're supposed to be a minister of the gospel, and you're made for that. You say, well, I'm not called to preach, but God has made you. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I just don't know what that good works is if it's not trying to recreate in somebody else's life what God did in your life. Somebody came by your way, it was just testified about, knocked on your door, harassed you, harangued you, bothered you. In some cases, they might have beat on you a little bit. I mean, but so they might have roughed you up. Boy, you're getting saved right now. I've heard stories about that. I'm not quite in agreement with that manner of evangelism, but you know, if that's the way, if that's the rough edges you've got when you first got saved, hem them up, amen. Do your best, amen. Do your very best. But whatever it is, I know this, God made you for that purpose. God's going to use you for that way. And it's when He says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, I don't know what that is. I mean, hey, listen, let me say this. Whoever vacuums the church, that's a good work. That's a good one. Whoever cleans the toilets, whoever cleans the downstairs, whoever cleans the kitchen, all that stuff is necessary. And you definitely need the place. But don't ever forget, don't ever think that your main purpose in life or your main purpose in Christianity is to clean toilets and vacuum the floor. Listen, get out and be also. Amen. Be also a minister of the gospel. Be a witness. Be, you know, say something, hand out tracts, do something, because that's your purpose, amen. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. A lot of the jobs that we got in the church, we need people to do those, and it's definitely a blessing when the pastor or the pastor's wife doesn't have to do every single job. That's a great blessing. But listen, if something physical has to be left undone for you to go up to somebody and tell them the gospel, hey, go that way. I don't think the Lord's going to let you down. Don't think the Lord's going to let you down on that. And so that's what I would do. And listen, somebody, what I was trying to say just a second ago, somebody came by and knocked on your door. Somebody came by and harassed you and witnessed to you. And you never thought, sitting on your couch, watching what you were watching, hanging out with the boys on Friday night, doing whatever you were doing, you never imagined that you would be in a church on Sunday night or a Monday night or a Friday night with your hands up in the air praising God or running around the bases. You never imagined that would be you. But it is you, and we always give the glory and the honor to Jesus Christ, but you got to Jesus Christ through the operation of a minister. Somebody come by and said, let me tell you about this man who done wonders. I read the story just yesterday of the woman who went back and told everybody in town, come meet a man that told me all things that ever I did. It moved a town. It moved a town. You say, what was she? She was a minister. Brand new. She hadn't been to a Bible school like some of you have. She hadn't been to Sunday school 3 weeks in a row. She said, hey, I tell you what, I met this man. He told me everything. That's probably him, right? Yes, sir, that's him. Let's go see him. I mean, that kind of excitement, listen, that kind of excitement will move folks. Hey,
that's right.
This is it. Amen. And that's what, listen, a lot of you go home and you try to explain theologically to all your family and all your workmates this thing you learn in here, but you've been to church for 5 years straight and you've learned all this knowledge. You go home and try to put 5 years worth of theology into your neighbor who's never been to church one time. They don't understand what you're talking about. Just go over there and say, hey, why don't you come meet a man that's doing amazing things in my life? What's your pastor's name? I'm not talking about my pastor. I'm talking about the Lord of glory is doing some great things. That, you say, what is that? That's a minister. That's a minister. That's a minister. Some folks minister a lot of things, but I'm talking about a gospel minister. The dispenser is made for the purpose. Amen. Let me just read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't want to skip these verses. I'm not trying to keep you all night, but I don't want to skip these verses either. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I probably should have read some of this stuff right at the beginning. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 21 says this. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That verse is going to work over and over and over again in your life. Not by the foolishness of concerts. Listen, God, you are never, let me just say it this way, you're never going to come up with any better way to do what God said needed to be done. You're just not, you're not going to put on a play that's dynamic enough. You're not going to write a song that's emotional enough. You're not going to come up, listen, you're not going to come up with any other outreach program that is good enough to replace the one thing that God chose to minister the gospel to lost souls, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. There's no better way. There's no better way. You might have went to some concert and heard this song that changed your life. Let me tell you this. If the Word of God had changed your life, you'd have been in a much better place right now. Yes, sir, because it's God's method. It's God's method. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that doesn't stop just once you get saved. Listen, I've sat in churches and heard preachers preach and had my life changed and in a sense been saved. The Bible says he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I happen to still believe. And because I believe and because I believe, because not only I believe the gospel, but I believe in the method that God chose, I can sit in a church and hear a man run his mouth for an hour. And hey, maybe he needs to run his mouth an hour to talk to 75, 80 different people. But I've sat and heard, and maybe 2 or 3 minutes of that sermon just changed my life. And I might not could tell you anything that was said the rest of the service. That's not saying God wasn't talking to me. I should be paying attention the whole service. But what I'm saying is God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do you believe today? Are you already saved yet? Do you still believe? Then God will use that preaching to save you week after week after week. Don't tell me you don't need saving week. I'm not talking about saving your soul over and over again. I'm talking about sometimes you need at least, I say at least, theologically speaking, only once. You needed Christ to save your soul, but I know this, from time to time you need God to save you from doubts, fears, hardships, struggles, temptations. Why do you think that he would save your soul from hell by using a foolish preacher and that he wouldn't save you from all the rest of that stuff by doing the same way? Well, if I would only fast 45 hours, then God would relieve me from this. I don't choose to do it that way. I'm waiting for some preacher to drop it on me. Give me the. You say why? Because that's the method that God chose. So when I go to church, I'm looking for a minister. I'm not looking for a show off. I'm not looking for the best or the brightest or the most well dressed or the most well spoken. I'm looking for a minister from God. And I guess the children of Israel was looking for something special because they didn't recognize the rough-dressed locust eater as he come out of the wilderness, you know, speaking kind of rough. You know, a lot of times you turn people off by the tone of their voice. And you'll have to admit with me that the nation of Israel made a mistake when they did that to John the Baptist. Amen? So the dispenser, it's made for its contents. Made for its contents. And then let me say this. Let me move on here. The dispenser, which is the minister, the dispenser should have a receptacle to refill its contents. See that big old hole on the top? Now, we're going to get to the pouring out part. See that little bitty hole right there? That's for the pouring out. See that great big hole right there? That's for the receiving. A lot of us do a whole lot of pouring out and not a whole lot of receiving. But I have to tell you this. Listen, you're never going to be able to pour out more than you receive. Amen. Never, never, never. Listen, if I pour 5 ounces in here, that's all I'm getting out. That's all I'm getting out. Listen, you can't study your Bible 3 minutes a day and run off and preach 3 hours a week. You just can't do it. Amen. You just can't do it. Listen, you can't come in this place and hear 45 minutes worth of preaching once a month and then expect to go down and just give all your neighbors this miraculous guru type ministry that everybody seems to enjoy this day. If you don't have nothing in you, then you don't have nothing to say. And I'm not trying to use foul language or anything, but most Christians are ignorant. And I don't mean that. I don't mean any kind of all I mean by that is you don't know what you ought to know. Most Christians don't know what they need to know in order to minister with somebody because your top's not open. And when we talk about receiving, we're talking about your mind. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. He said he wanted you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, some folks know every person that plays for the Washington Redskins or the Dallas Cowboys, but they don't know who the 10 apostles are, the 12 disciples. They say, I don't even know there's 12 of them. 12 disciples. Listen, we know Derek Jeter and all of his stats, but I don't know any of his stats. I just know that name. But I tell you this, we ought to know more about the Bible than we do our favorite ball team. You say, what's the reason that we don't? It's just the lid's not off and we're not receiving the things that we ought to do. The dispenser should have a receptacle to refill its contents. Your mind. The Bible, of course, the Bible says 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrines. Take heed to them. You know, when the sports channel comes on, you're there taking heed. Let's see how many home runs did old boy hit this week? How many touchdowns did he score this week? Or when CNN comes on or Fox News, we want to find out who's accusing Trump of what this week. Keeping up on everything. Well, that's what your receptacle's open to. That's what you're getting. Just most of it, just filth. Just trash. Just receive it. You need to just put against that stuff, just put a lid on it. But you need to open your mind to the Lord. Open your heart to the Word of God. Open your mind to the Word of God. And get. Because let me tell you this. When you leave your house every morning, there's a lot of potential out there. Now, I live in a county in Georgia. It's the largest landmass county in the whole state. Our county has more land, more property, more acres than any other county in the state of Georgia. And we have one of the smallest populations. We have 1,500 people, maybe not even that. The last census said 13,000 people in our whole county. You probably got that many people within 10 square miles of this building. Probably have that many people around here. There's a ton of people around here. And I'm saying that to say this. When you leave your house every morning, there is a lot of potential for you to minister. And it takes a lot of stuff to minister. That's simple country boy language. It takes a lot of stuff. You got to know a lot of stuff. You might run into one guy and he might say something stupid like, how did Noah get all those animals in the ark? I mean, you might want to figure out a way to deal with that because a lot of people are asking it. You say, well, that's a stupid question. I know. And you could be stupid right back and say, well, he built it big enough. How about that? Or you could study and pray long enough, I mean, just to deal with people just the way they deal with you or the way, I would recommend this, deal with them the way God wants you to deal with them. You say, well, how am I supposed to know that? Well, that's a good question, ain't it? I think you should get busy and try to figure that out because you can. Because you can. In a lot of ways, and we're not against studying our Bible, we certainly aren't. We're not against studying for sermons, we certainly aren't. But I'm one that happens to believe that when the Lord said, open your mouth wide and he will fill it, I believe that he will. But I believe in that situation of witnessing, he'll fill it with the stuff you've already read and studied about. I don't believe it's magic. I believe it's an operation that goes on. You get in and study. Listen, I can tell you this. Sometimes when I've preached, I've quoted verses of scriptures I haven't quoted in 10 years. I memorized it somewhere along the way. And if you got me after church and said, quote that verse you just quoted again, I'd probably say, oh, I can't much do that. And at the same time, when out there witnessing, I've been able to quote a scripture or come up with something really guru-like to say. Boy. Yeah, and they say, wow, that's a really good answer. Yes, I've studied that quite a bit. That's my field of expertise. No, that's ridiculous. God gave it to me when I needed it. But it didn't come just magically out of the class. I like to joke with our people down at the church. Sometime I'll get off on something, everybody starts saying amen or something. I'll say, well, that wasn't part of the message. That just came down from heaven. See, like there's some spiritual transaction taking place. A sunbeam opened through the roof of the building and God gave me this. No, what it comes from is studying. Sonny, it might be something you studied 10 years ago, but you're going to need it down the road somewhere. The dispenser has to be open. The dispenser should have a receptacle to refill the contents. And then the dispenser should have a place for pouring out its contents. You know, that's the heart. What you receive is going to come in your mind, but what you're putting out is always going to be relative to your heart. If you don't care, you just ain't going to say nothing. And that's what it comes down to. Listen, if it was your boy about to fall over a 15-foot bank and bust his head on the concrete, you would swing into action. If it was something that pertained to something you cared about, you would get involved. If it was a flag football game on Sunday, you'd be there maybe. Or a baseball game or something to that effect. I mean, if it was, let's have volunteers for the softball team. People like to get involved. Yeah. Let's have volunteers for street preaching. It mostly has to do with what's going on in the heart. That's mostly what it is. And what comes out, listen, in that regard, what comes out of the heart, the Bible says it's the things that come out of the heart that defile a man. Well, in the same thought, I could also say that it must be the things that comes out of the heart that marks and identifies a gospel witness. I mean, the things that come out of your mouth, that comes out of your heart. If you're talking about Emmett Smith or you're talking about Roger Staubach, that's probably your interest. I'm not saying you can't have other interests. You can be interested. I'm interested in a lot of things. Guns. I like guns and going on hikes and camping out and fishing. I like all that stuff. But that's not what I'm a minister of. You ask me a question, I might answer, but I'm not going to stand around and talk to you 3 hours about camping.
Amen.
Just not. You say, why? It's not my job. God didn't call me for that. God didn't call me for that. But so you can have hobbies, you can have all kinds of stuff that you're interested in. A lot of that stuff not sinful. But listen, the main thing, you just listen to a man talk, and you can usually see what his heart's set on.
That's right.
And so I say the dispenser should have something appropriate to pour out by, an open mouth. And of course we see the illustration, your mind ought to be more open to God than your mouth is. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to make the sacrifice of fools. The sacrifice of fools is made with your mouth. And isn't it true that we've opened our mouth to a lot of foolish things in our lifetime? We've proclaimed foolish proclamations. We've said crazy things. We've made oaths that we knew we couldn't keep. I'm going to do this. And boy, usually those things turn out bad. And we love to minister us. And I believe this more than, I believe this as much as I believe anything else. Nobody needs you to minister you to them. It's just not about you. Listen, I try to relay this to our preachers. The more Bible illustrations you can use, the better. It's okay for you to say, this is what God brought me from, and this is what God has done for me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm not talking bad about that. But when you're ministering more of you than you're, well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done that. Every time you open your mouth, if it's about you, then you're ministering you. You're not ministering Christ. And you have no help for anybody except for, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. We like, it's easy. See, remember, we talked about you can only pour out what you take in. It's easy to minister us because we've been living with us all of our lives. We know all about us. We forget the bad, though. Don't we? Forget the bad things we've done or said or whatever the case is. But we're quick to, so, and don't you love people like this? You say, well, I caught a fish that was 3.5 pounds yesterday. Well, I'll tell you, one time I caught a 20-pound bass. Yes, I did. They've always got that one-upsmanship, I think they call it. Got one better to tell you. Well, most people readily will tell you the good things about themselves. But as Christians, we're not here to minister ourselves. There's something better to minister. If we're here to minister the gospel, and if we're here to minister help, and if we're here to minister healing, and if we're here to minister things that pertain to victory, then we best talk about something a little better than ourselves. Amen? And that's the beef I've got with this modern religious kick on self-esteem. Listen, you don't need self-esteem.
Amen.
I know that probably everybody in this building deals with it from time to time, and you don't feel worthy, which is not actually a bad thing. But listen, on the flip side of that, it's not a good thing to sit around and just crawl into a corner and feel bad about yourself all the time. But listen, I think if you built your self-esteem, haven't you let yourself down 100 times? That why put so much emphasis on a faulty person? If your brother or if your cousin came to you and borrowed $50 and then you were confident that he was going to pay you back and he didn't pay you back, you'd feel kind of upset about that. If your brother said to you, I'll be at your house at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'll take you to your new job so you don't lose your job, and you're there at 7:30, wait for it. He has just let you down. His faultiness has let you down. Well, that same way that you feel about others when you fail, that's the same way you're going to feel about yourself when you fail. That's the way you felt last time you failed. So why put confidence in a broken person? You. I recommend Christ to stay.
Amen.
Hey, Christ has never failed me.
Amen.
Well, have you ever hit rock bottom while you were trusting in Christ? Yes, I have. And that's exactly where he intended for me to land.
Yes,
amen.
And he allowed me to bounce back. Amen.
Amen.
I like the New Testament talks about abounding a whole lot. Well, sometimes you can't abound through the roof. Sometimes you got to hit the bottom before you can abound.
Amen.
Amen. Better be careful ministering self.
Amen.
Amen. The dispenser should have something to pour out, and it's not yourself. Amen. It's Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then let me say this. The dispenser only has to be poured out. That's a pretty easy task, isn't it? Just sit down and read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Go out and run into somebody and pour it out. This week, go home. You're going to preach next week. This week, go home. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Come in and pour it out. Just pour it out.
Yeah.
Not too much responsibility, is it? Just turn it up and let it run.
Yeah.
When it stops running, shut up.
Yeah.
I would like to know how to be a good preacher there, theologian Easter. Well, turn it upside down, let it run till it stops, and then sit down and shut up and let God do something with it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Well, but see, that's all you've got to worry about. That's all in this world you've got to worry about. Now look, here's you wanna bother a preacher real bad? This is the receptacle. Now I'm preaching. I'm the minister. I'm doing the pouring out, you're doing the receiving. You know what bothers a preacher to no end? No, thank you. Well, you know, I preached to them 3 weeks in a row about laying out, and the very next service they laid out. What really bothers you is when you preach on that one thing that you love to preach on so much, and you're preaching it right to an individual. Would you do that, Brother Mike? In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Amen. That's what God called me to do.
That's right.
But I got good intentions. I want to help them. Want to see them get right. Want to see them get things worked out. Preaching right to them, and you're telling them exactly what they do. You even get in front of them and get a little bit of spit on them. And while you're preaching about what they should or shouldn't be doing, they say, amen, preacher. What do you mean, amen? I'm talking to you. Yes, I'll have some tea, thank you.
That's right. Yeah.
Can I have another cup, brother pastor? Another cup, please. See, they got their hand up. We said that bothers most ministers. That bothers most. I've witnessed to my uncles. I've witnessed to my workmates, and they just won't do what I say. Well, see, you're not supposed to be worried about that. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to open the top, get the stuff poured in, pour it out. This little jug right here has never gave one flip what this cup thought. It don't even know this cup exists. I will grant you this. As a minister, you should have compassion for other people. You should be praying for other people. You should have the best interest of those people in your heart. But listen, this is what God left you here to do. I had a fellow tell, I preached a message on depression one time, and this fellow told me, he said, you ought not to preach about depression because God is going to allow the devil now to afflict you with depression. So I thought about that a minute, and it almost got me. I was like, well, I'm only, at that time I was probably 38 or something like that. I've only been alive 38 years. I've probably been depressed before. But that's not even the half of it. Listen, you know, we were talking about Marines a while ago, talking about these police officers. You know, getting shot at is part of their job.
That's right.
You know, we live in a day and time where people think, I'm going to join the Marine Corps and get some college education. A college education is not the point.
point of the military service. If they give you an education, glory to God. That's great. I'm glad you get benefits. But you join the Marines to get shot at.
Right.
Listen, in the Old Testament, God uses the minister. He uses an illustration for the minister. It's the watchman that's on the wall. You're up there to blow the horn. When the enemy comes, you blow the horn. Guess what happens when you blow the horn? The enemy sees you, and they shoot you. If you don't want to get in the crosshairs, get out of the ministry.
Amen.
You're telling, no, I'm not telling you to get out of the ministry. I'm telling you to get your mind right. Get your mind right. Oh, well, I'm going to quit this church now because nobody listens to me. Maybe you're a boring preacher. Maybe you didn't study me. Maybe they're all wicked as the devil. There's lots of possibilities. But the thing about it is, God called you to minister. He didn't call you to respond for the congregation. If people weren't bad people, you wouldn't even be needed. That's some of the greatest truth you'll ever hear. Listen, if the people at your work weren't wicked as the day is long, we had a fellow used to go to church here. Brother Allen probably come in his mind right away who it is. But he'd work a job about 3 weeks. He'd come back over there. Brother Allen said, well, I quit that job over there because they was all cussing and stuff. What do you think they're supposed to do? They're lost people. If they weren't lost, if they weren't wicked, if they weren't sinners, you wouldn't even need to be here. You just get saved and God wraps you up to heaven. But a lot of ministers are so worried about the reception that they can't get past anything in their life. And they stay depressed all the time. They're not depressed because of a real life crisis. They're depressed because they don't listen to me. They don't do what I say. I tried to organize a visitation program and only three of them come out. Well, take the three. Take the three. Don't sit around and work. This pot right here is never going to sit around worried about who receives anything from it. As far as that part is concerned, ought to just be oblivious to it. So if you preach a message and the devil jumps up on your shoulder, nobody listens to that, nobody likes that kind of stuff, so big deal. I liked it.
Amen.
I'm not by any means saying you don't care about people getting help and you don't care that people get it. But listen, what's going on today is people are preaching and they think, well, just a building's going to fill up with 400 people every time somebody decides they're going to preach.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Amen. Somebody's going to get saved every time we go street preaching. It's not going to happen.
That's right.
Sometimes they're going to hide behind the curtain. Amen. I've seen them hide behind the curtain many a times. Eventually you'll get around to them, hem them up a little bit. Amen. And then on the other end of that, I heard I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about street preaching, and his remark was that he enjoyed street preaching because it was his opportunity to go make people mad. That is not what God sent you here for. God didn't send you here to make people mad. Will people get mad when you preach? Sure they will, but that's not the intent. I heard one fellow one time, he was kind of a comedian, he said that God chose the foolishness of preaching, so he was just being a fool. That's not what God meant. The world's going to call it foolishness. The world is going to call it foolishness. God called fools like us, and you can laugh at yourself by being a fool if you want to, but a lot of people got some kind of misconstrued idea about what the ministry ought to be. It's not to make people mad.
That's right.
It's not to make people mad. It's, like I said a while ago, it's to do for others what God's done for you.
That's right.
Amen. It's a minister. The dispenser only has to be poured out. It's the cup's responsibility to receive. It's their responsibility. I'm not saying you can't be sad when people won't be saved, but don't let it knock you out of the ministry. Don't let it make you bitter, which it ends up making a lot of people bitter. And then let me say this, last but not least, the handle belongs to somebody. You say, that's the pot's handle. No, that's my handle. See, I don't pick it up like this. I handle it like this. This is my handle. So, well, it belongs to the pot. No, it belongs to me. And as a gospel minister, somebody got the handle for you.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's you, that's bad.
Yes.
If it's the devil, that's bad.
Amen.
If you're a Christian minister, that's God's handle.
Amen.
Yeah.
so he can pour you out. And he can choose where and when to pour you out. I'll pour out a little bit over here. You don't think, we're not Calvinists, so we don't believe certain things that a Calvinist do. But I'll tell you this, I believe that Calvinists believe. God sit here and pour out to you, 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 and walk right by you. Pour out to this one, pour out to that one, walk right by the next one, just hold this cup back like this so you can't get nothing. But God chooses that, see? God chooses. Many times I've sat and wondered, why doesn't so-and-so get help? Why doesn't so-and-so get help? God, you know what? You really need to deal with that person. I'm telling God who to deal with. I'm telling God what to do in somebody else's life, but God's got the handle, and he knows. I mean, God, I preach the message that I know he needs. But see, God's got the handle. He might have surely needed, because your pastor has enough sense to know what you need. You think he don't, but he does. Well, he doesn't live with me 24 hours a day. He don't have to. Some of that stuff just pops right off of your face. You're in need of help. And he might sling one at you once in a while. Amen. If you get mad at him about that, you're just a fool. But the preacher, listen, the preacher can get the message you need. You know what I find? This is also something that can depress a preacher. You can spend a lot of time just getting that one thing that needs to be said down pat. I need to say it just like this. Because if I say it like this, there is no way that they can misconstrue what it means. They will have to see the light. Get to church that Sunday, going to preach it. That's the Sunday they laid out.
Yep. Amen.
And you think some way or another God's not involved in that, but I believe he is. I believe God come by and pour out to this one and pour out to this one, and he might just withhold for the next one here. He might say, well, but you've got to leave that up to God and let God.
Amen.
I would be willing to bet this. Go to a revival meeting or a camp meeting somewhere, and here's a preacher. He's sitting up here trying to, God done told him what, he prayed and asked God to give him a message, and he's sitting up here. He's like, well, this isn't going exactly the way I thought, and maybe I need to change my message, and get up here and say, God, at the last minute, changed my message. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
It's just not your business. It is your business to study. It is your business to come up with something to preach. But it's God's business who gets ministered to. And if I had a down low, mellow sermon to preach, and the service was way, 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 way up, I'd just preach the mellow sermon, let it go the way it is, because I know God's got enough sense to handle stuff like that. Well, you killed the service. Well, it should have been shot a long time ago. That's just the way you gotta look at it. You're just a pot. You're just a vessel. The master gets to hold the handle. He's the master minister.
Yeah.
Amen? He is. He really is. I find this time and time again. God knows exactly what you need and when.
Yeah.
Boy, listen, folks that lay out a church, I believe this with all my heart. I believe people have laid out a church when God had the message about to be preached that would have changed their life. They laid out that service.
Right.
I believe that with all my heart. I know it. I know it for a fact. You say, isn't that kind of weird to have to try to figure out? No, it's not weird. Just come every service.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
There it is.
Just come every service. Well, my job won't let me. Get a different job.
Amen.
Well, we got to have money. I don't care. Listen, you got to have the ministry. I realize people got to have money, and good for you out there struggling and trying to make money, but not at the expense of your soul.
Yes, sir.
Not at the expense of your children. I mean, you having to work on Wednesday night might be a good excuse, but what about your wife and kids?
Amen.
How come they're laying out?
Yeah.
They're calling in moral support. Go, Dad, go. Go, Dad, go. No, man, somebody in the family needs to be in church.
Amen.
Send them to church. You say, why? Because God's in the ministering business at church. I read you the verse right up at the front of the service. The fullest of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
That's where God's going to pour it out at. There's plenty to be said for singing, and there's plenty to be said for Christian fellowship. I read it to you, the fellowship of the gospel. There's plenty to be said for that. But boy, when it's time for preaching, you need it, and you need it now more than ever.
Amen.
The Bible don't say, you know, I had a fellow say, well, there's no Bible for Wednesday night service. There's no Bible for Sunday school. There's no Bible against it.
Right.
No Bible against it. What's wrong with it? Matter of fact, the Bible says
forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But you know what that verse says? It says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to have more. Listen, so let's take a vote right now. Which other night of the week besides Wednesday shall we make a regular service night? Tuesday?
Friday?
The Bible did say more and more. I mean, they've been going to church on Wednesday nights, I guess, since the early 1700s or something like that, prayer meeting. So isn't it about time we added another service? I thought that everyone in all the pews would be standing up going, yes, yes, it's that time, brother. It's that time. But evidently I was wrong. But the minister doesn't get worried about the receptacle. Amen? So we'll let that pass. Amen. Brother, come ahead. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, in no way, shape, or form did I mean to say that anybody's life wasn't important, their job wasn't important, or anything that that affects their regular lives from day to day. None of that is unimportant. But the gospel, being a minister of the gospel, is the most important and should take precedence above all other things. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see it that way. And Lord, not only to see it that way, but to become involved in it ourselves. Help us, oh God, to do these things. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Come